Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and boy, have we got a surprise for you guys today. I'm going to be speaking with the winner of Survivor Thailand, Brian Heidick, and this is going to be a big treat for me because I've always wanted to have Brian on the show. This is a bucket list guest for me, so I'm excited to jump into it with him today. Brian is one of the people that is going to be at Give Kids the World, the charity event down in Florida this summer, and he is raising money for charity. And as part of that, he agreed to come on to the podcast with the help of the people at Give Kids the World. So I will give out a link if you want to contribute to that fundraising effort for Give Kids the World. But before we get to today's interview, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, appropriately, our friends over at True Car. Because if you don't know Brian Heidick, how the hell are you supposed to get a good deal on a car? Of course, that it is from our friends over at True Car, because anytime you make a big purchase like that, like a new car, don't you want a transparent buying process, a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? So to really understand the power of transparency, check out True Car and True Car's mobile app. Because with True Car, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for, down to your zip code, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. It's a very transparent process. And once you decide on the car you want, lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that's going to honor your savings without a negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. All right, everybody, we have such a real treat. I think that this is going to blow a lot of people's minds out there, because we have with us so many historic things going on. First off, this is the first person from Survivor Thailand we've ever had on the podcast. Out of 30 seasons of the show, that's the only season that we never talked to anybody from, because there's pretty much only one person that you'd even want to talk to, and we happen to have him on the line. Here he is, the Iceman, Brian Heidick, Mr. Freeze.
Thank you.
Brian.
I appreciate that.
How are you? And I don't mean to undersell. I'm a big Helen fan also. I feel like Helen would be somebody else that would be worthwhile to talk to. But here we are, the champion of Survivor Thailand. Here he is. Wow.
Well, thanks. Thank you very much for taking the time and hanging out and all that jazz. So it's great to actually, Rob and I are connecting, too, which is great.
Yes, Brian, the last time I saw you, it was the Survivor All-Stars finale party. It was, I guess, May of 2004. So it's been over 10 years since I've seen you. How are you doing?
Crazy, isn't it? Let's see, was that two marriages later and four other kids, lost a male, met a male? It's crazy.
Wow. You're such an enigma. You really are, because you're almost like the Pete Rose of Survivor, that you're just like the, you know, this great player that we just have like lost contact with, and we just don't know how you're doing.
Well, no, thanks so much for reaching out too. It's like anything else in life when you have, I have four, with children and life and things, you win your gold medal and you move on. But at the same time, you got to take care of business, make sure everybody's taken care of. And this thing called life kind of gets in the way as well, too. So I retired from the industry, acting, little modeling, little producing, all that jazz, and moved back into the industry of selling and managing and helping dealerships make money. So I'm now helping run a little place called Hilton Head Honda. And on the island of Hilton Head, and I'm actually living in paradise.
Yeah, where is Hilton Head?
On the beach, Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Okay,
so it's an incredible journey that this life has led me to, and I've chosen to live in a resort type community, retirement community, but at the same time, it's also young families and children growing and. There's so many opportunities out here that I can help people with. So I'm very fortunate of where I'm at to enjoy life. So it's great. It's being, if you're familiar with LA, or where are you, Rob, where are you living?
I'm actually out in LA now.
Where about?
That I live in the Valley.
Have you been to Venice Beach?
Yes.
Have you been to Balboa?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I guess not. I guess not. Yeah, San Diego, yeah.
Okay, well then, I'm on the coast, and I'm just helping, I'm solving a lot of problems for people. So
what kind of problems do you solve for people?
I make deals.
Okay, whoa.
So, yeah, that's it. People can't do this, or they can't do that. I can help them do things because we work with so many different types of vendors and banks and all that jazz. So we get people out of situations where they have issues, and then at the same time, we also help them get into something, another product, so, which is Honda now or pre-owned or whatever it is.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, you know, it's a fantastic scenario where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's great.
The problems that you help people out of, are they all car-related problems or any problems that people have?
Yes. Yes, car related.
Oh, okay.
So back in the car biz.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great. So, Brian, have you kept up with Survivor at all since your whole experience with the show?
Absolutely.
Oh, really? Great.
Absolutely. Did you? What did you think of the last episode?
Oh, of course. It was very exciting. This whole thing with Dan playing his advantage and then the hidden immunity idol. But I would just love to know from you, what's your take on what's going on in this season?
Well, here's what most viewers, as Robert, your player,
yeah,
as we've all played. So what most viewers tend to forget is that when you are playing the game, the relationships that are established, not on TV. A lot of the people that are watching can't realize that the relationships are very strong or they're not strong. So what I'm realizing is that Mike and Dan had their own sort of relationship, but at the same time, Dan was kind of clueless. So
yeah.
it tells me that he was not as much of a friend as he thought he was. So behind the scenes, as you know, Rob, and I can say this with being candid, production takes you off and takes you to a certain area and talks with you about what happens or what doesn't happen and how you feel about it and all that jazz. But what most viewers don't realize is that you either have a connection with people on the island that you're playing, or you don't have a connection, and it looks like Dan didn't have a connection. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, do you mean a connection to the other players in the game or a connection to what was actually going on?
No, both.
Yeah. I mean, both. I think he thought he had a connection, but the connections that he thought he had were somewhat, you know, disingenuous. You know, I think he felt like, you know, he had something going on with Tyler and Carolyn and Rodney at one point. And maybe eventually, you know, Rodney and Will were the only people that thought that they could beat Dan and that they wanted to keep him around. And I'm so glad that you were, I wasn't sure if you had been following the season. I'm so glad that you are, because this is like Brian Heidick time in the game, because I think what you did probably almost better than anybody else who's ever played was, you know, there's just that scene where you talk about where you're going down from, you have these four options and you're just running down the list and you go down to that final five and you so precisely pull out the pieces that you want to get to the final two that you want. Now, I think it's maybe, I'd love to hear from you. Is it easier or harder to get to the final three that you want?
Well, it's a process. And obviously, immunity challenges that you win are controlling the game, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's answer plus. You get immunity challenges, you can control the game. That's fine and dandy, but not everybody can get immunity challenges and win. It's tough. It's extremely tough.
Yeah.
And you're very, Rob, the way you play the game too, and it was great watching you play.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And as I said to you earlier, it was great getting to know you. And I was like, wow, you're very analytical also too. And you have to learn to adapt to that personality, but your personality has to learn to adapt to my personality too. And then we could get, ultimately at the end of the day, we could get along. People aren't getting along is what I'm seeing out there. So that's what's mm-hmm. What's fun. It's Survivor.
Yeah.
It's personal. You can either play in the sandbox, get along, or you can't.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there's some scenarios that I think Dan was a little bit, he made some wrong decisions. He assumed some things that didn't happen. And if you get emotionally involved with it, you're going to sometimes make mistakes. If you're methodically involved, then you should be able to plan, make a decision, plan, make a decision. Just don't get your emotions too much involved, because then it ultimately will hurt you. Because generally speaking, when you get your emotions involved, then you get your footstep on.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
For Mike now, I mean, he's sort of in the position where he has to win these last couple of challenges, like what you were able to do in Survivor Thailand. In your mind, you know, how important is that to be able to just control who goes home in that last couple of, in those last couple of votes?
Well, you tell me, Rob. During those time periods of voting, I always had this known fact of, hey, we're all good. We're all good. All of us are friends. We've done this. We've done that. We've had this conversation. We haven't had this conversation. It's always so interesting to me to watching Survivor how people don't know what's going on, whereas I kind of always knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that Mike now has to establish some sort of relationship with those that are still there. But I think he's already stepped over his boundaries. That's my concern. So
yeah,
he has an immunity. He's done great, but he's, you can never be cocky or egotistical. And right now he's a little bit cocky or egotistical. And that's, I never was like that. I don't think I ever portrayed that.
Hold on, Brian, you were never cocky?
Nope. I wasn't.
I don't know. I remember a guy who seemed like he had everything under control the entire time.
Wow, maybe behind the scenes.
So, well, you know, you were really good though at like, and I've watched your season within the last year or so, but you were just really, really good in your confessionals too. Like you were almost like a different persona in your talking to the camera than you were with the other people. And I don't know if anybody else to that point was really almost like a different person in like your interactions with the people that were around. But then talking to us at home, you were almost like, this really, really analytical about what you were doing and talking about the game. Is that something that you consciously, thought about when you were out there?
Well, let me ask you a question, Rob. You know the difference between cocky and confidence?
What's that?
Being all low-keyed.
Yeah.
So it's, you can't explain it. Can't describe it. You either enjoy life or you don't enjoy life. You love people or you don't love people. You can sell, you can't sell. You can praise or you can't. So I was always the type that if I would suggest, again, I would not ever demand. I would enjoy.
Yeah.
I would not pick. So if you can look at these adjectives, or not look, but if you can like just hear what I'm saying regarding that, it's fragile, but it's life. It's how you treat others. And that's the thing about Survivor. It's like, there's all these emotions going on, like a food, like water, like a sleep. And then what happens next? So how people react, those that react in a certain way are the ones that go, oh my gosh, what should I do? I just happen to react differently. And luckily, it worked. So a couple of challenges. One, I'd like to, again, it's, a lot of people don't realize this. I trained for Survivor. Most people don't know this. I was in an area in California where I snuck into different types of pools where I trained my lungs. I would do ski exercises for cross-country skiing. I would set up against the wall and see how long I can set up against the wall without my legs burning and doing that. You know, as an athlete, as a person, I would try to do that physically, but mentally also too. I train, I played chess, I played cards, I played gin rummy. I played all kinds of different things mentally as well as physically. So train for it. You train like you do in sales, like you do in life. And I hope people realize that you have to give a shit. If you don't get a lot of people I was working with, or like I was on Survivor with, were these younger folks, and they were like, "Oh yeah, I'm here for the experience." I go, "Okay, he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for the experience." You know, a couple of people in the other tribe I was on. So I'm here for the experience. Great. Experience this. How about you experience walking off a tribal council with a torch blown out? that sucks. So
yeah,
but it's great. It's with love. It's nothing negative. It's with love. It's like, wow, he can learn so much more if he would just take it a little more seriously. And some of the people I was with, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. I don't hear the word I can't. Let's try. I'm the first person that's going to build a latrine or a place for people to go poop or pee.
Yeah.
Who does that? Well, I would.
And it was for other people because you would go in the ocean.
Correct. And I know Rupert loves to talk about the aqua dump because where he got the aqua dump from.
Yeah, you invented that.
Thank you. But he loved, I heard him on Savannah, some radio station. He's like, I created the aqueduct. I called him. I go, "Rupert, you did not create the aqueduct. I did that." He goes, "Oh, you're right.
Sorry, Brian."
I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Rupert, I told that was mine."
Patent pending.
So he admitted to that.
So. Yeah.
I'm like, "Rupert, no. Because we did a charity event in Wisconsin, we in Traverse City. I was like, "Why would you say that you did the aqueduct?" Well, I'm the one that said, "I really did that." He was like, "Oh, okay." But it sounded good. I was like, "Okay."
Yeah.
But I'm the one that said originally, but thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, just so those that don't know what aqua dump is.
I think everybody knows what it is. I think everybody knows.
When you have to use a restroom in the ocean, it's very free to use it in the water. So.
Hold on. And you didn't invent that when you were breaking into people's pools, did you?
No, sir.
Okay.
I did not rock. Thanks for clarifying that.
You know, it's such a perfect time to talk to you. Cause you know, whenever I think of the final five, you're probably one of the top people that I think of in how you did that. But for somebody like Mike, he's almost like playing this from the bottom, and he's had to be coming from behind this whole, like, basically since the merge, but you were always playing the game from the top and sort of like leading from the front. What do you think is the more stressful position to have to play the game from?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I never thought it was Mike coming from behind. I've always said from day one, I've talked to some other players that we talked about the show, and I've always said Mike's a very strong player. Actually, he's still in a situation that's fantastic. I'm happy for him. I think he's going to go very far. He's blue collar, which is great, but he's a very strong player, and I don't think he's actually playing from behind. And you, in the game of Survivor, you should never look at playing from behind or playing from last place. You should just enjoy the moment and capitalize on your current situation, whereas some people look at it as from behind or being in the last, and you never know what's going to happen. So if you can always think that your current situation is pretty good, then you'll be okay. The problem with people is that they're already put a place or a marker on themselves, and then that's usually why they either lose the challenge, or this happens or that happens, and then they can't move forward, or they haven't stepped up. So it's very, like with children, it's very interesting with how survivors with children, you have to either be confident if you're doing okay, or if you're not doing okay, keep going.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the human psyche works. It's amazing. And this survivor thing is so incredible.
Brian, have you kept up with any of the people from Thailand over the years?
Oh, absolutely. Just those people that voted for me, of course.
Yeah, the people that didn't vote for you, the people that voted for Clay, you know, right?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
So a lot, there was some negativity and all that, but I don't want to dwell on that, but I've seen a couple people that I did not vote for me, but I bought them drinks. It's yes. All with love, and it's okay.
Okay. All right, we won't worry about that. So you still talk to like Helen and Clay and Jan?
Helen was just in Hawaii. We just talked about a month ago. Clay called me about 2 months ago. Jan, 3 months ago. That's absolutely.
Oh, great! That's great.
Great. Yeah.
I'd love to get your take on some other people from Survivor, and you're such an interesting person, and we never get to hear from you. What was your take on somebody like Russell Hance? Did you like watching Russell play the game?
Well, I was surprised nobody called him on his bluff.
Yeah,
that was the most interesting thing watching Russell. Great player, Texas guy. But I would have probably called him on his bluff probably the third week into it. But, man, the stuff he did was great.
Yeah.
However.
Yes.
You want to dance? Let's dance. But what a great player he was. My goodness.
Yeah.
Fun to watch. A little like a leprechaun. I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
It was a great, one of the most, bulky leprechauns I've seen.
Yeah. And would you have enjoyed playing with Russell?
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been fun to play with. He really would have.
Okay. So. What about somebody like Tony recently? Another guy who was, he talked about his bag of tricks. He had a lot of stuff that he was pulling out there on the island. What did you think of Tony?
Great player. I'm not, being a cop, he knows personalities too. So he would have been tough.
Mm-hmm.
Real tough.
Brian, what do you think of this Survivor second chance that they're doing? They're taking all these people, non-winners, people that only played the game once, and letting them come back for a fan vote. Do you like this idea?
It is what it is, and whatever.
Yeah.
So, not really too excited about it. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You know, the big question that I think everybody wants to know, and of course, I'd love to know this, is why haven't we ever seen you come back to the game? Because at the time, you played probably the most dominant game that we had ever seen play out on the show. And to this day, still one of the most dominant wins that we've seen on the show. Why haven't we ever seen you back on Survivor?
Long sigh.
Yeah.
Well, there's some behind the scenes. I'd rather not go there.
Okay.
I'm sure you understand. Jeff and I have a little bit of a history, so I never want to bring negativity.
Okay.
But at the same time, I hope there's a future. So if there's another opportunity, then we'll maybe explore it. Other than that, I'm a family man. You win a gold medal, you move on. However, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You ever heard of Peyton Manning?
I have heard.
Okay. I'm ready.
Wait, so you're Peyton Manning?
If the opportunity is there, now I'm finally ready. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I wasn't ready. I didn't care. I had some other things going on called family and life and all that stuff. So I said, you know what? Let's move on. But however, if the opportunity arises, great. So I've got to actually call Mark Burnett.
Yeah.
I think I will.
So you haven't called him yet? You are going to?
I have not. No, I have not. So I think I will.
Okay. Because at the time, I think a lot of people expected you to be out there on the All-Stars. And I know I was disappointed to see you not out there. Was that something that, you know, there's all these stories, and you can and you tell me if you have a comment or you don't have a comment, but the urban legends are always that you are holding out and you had contractual demands that were too high for CBS. Is there any truth to that?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Correct. If you want Brian to play, you're going to have to pay.
Yes. No, so, but have those contractual demands subsided?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to hurt your leverage.
No, not like anything else. It's all with love, and I should actually reach out. I'm probably the worst. I don't reach out with having newborns and kids and a lovely wife, and she's hot and all that jazz. And
wow. Look at you, Brian.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you. So, but that's my those are my callings to life, and I mean, but at the same time, I have to appreciate and respect all the stuff that's happened with Survivor, and I hope that I should call Mark Burnett, and there's a lot of stuff. There's been some stuff I've been reached out to. A lot of people have been saying, you know, keep moving forward. I'm like, okay. Maybe I should.
So maybe this is the first steps towards getting you back out there in the eyes of CBS and Survivor. If there was some sort of a all legend season, is that something that would be interesting to you?
I think my new friend Rob, who Rob, you contacted
Boston
me a lot.
Rob?
I'm really no you.
Oh,
Rob C.
Yes,
you. My new friend Rob, who's finally you and I have talked, should probably move forward with that stuff. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. But at the same time, you're a great player. I enjoyed the game. We're all on the same page. It's just a matter of who gets along, who doesn't get along, and then you have the show called Survivor.
Yeah.
Then what do we do? We make it happen.
Yeah. Brian, I always appreciated back when I was on the show, you used to write in the National Enquirer and you would write blogs about it was newspaper articles. You would write articles that were in the National Enquirer and you were very complimentary about my game. I always appreciated that. I still have a bunch of them. So again, thank you very much for that. If I've never thanked you for the kind words you had for me during Survivor the Amazon.
But I was serious.
Yeah.
You're a very good player. I honestly would consider you a threat, but at the same time, you would be on my team. You and I would work together. And if you had a immunity idol, I probably would have got voted off or the immunity necklace. But that's what controls the game. The last three times, four times, that's really what controls the game. And if you would have had that with me, I would have been done. So I'm serious.
Well, Brian,
you're a very good player.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about me. I don't want to go. Let's see if we get you back. I'm good. I'll stay here and talk about it. Okay. You and Russell can go play.
Anytime.
Okay.
Yeah, Russell. That's easy. That's the easy picking order. Don't worry about him.
All right. Brian.
Rob, you know, I'd take care of that real quick.
How quick?
Second week.
Yeah. What about Boston Rob? Were you impressed with Boston Rob that he came back and won the game?
He's tough. I mean, that dude is tough. That'd be probably sixth week. Yeah.
Like sixth episode?
Yes. Because we're all done with the Boston thing. So there's a point where it's great, but then we're done. I'll be the first one to say it. I'm not going to go Cali. I'm not going to go to LA. I'm not going to go to New York. I'm the first to say it. We're done. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
Okay, I apologize.
All right.
Same time, I don't apologize.
Yeah. Well, Brian is doing something really great right now. He's raising money for the Give Kids the World Hearts of Reality fundraiser, which you're going to be at this summer. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So Brian is going to be there. They've got a page set up. I'm going to put up a link. What should we call this link? We'll call it robiswebsite.com/ Charity Heidick. Okay, that's Charity. And then, of course, Brian's last name is H-E-I-D-I-K, correct?
Thank you.
Okay. Charity Heidick. Yeah. And for coming on with me, I really appreciate this. I'm going to make a donation. I'm going to throw $100 in, and I'm going to get the ball rolling on this. And Brian has a goal of $500, and let's see how much we could chip in and help Brian meet the fundraising goal that he's trying to make for Give Kids the World. Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. Brian, I really appreciate you coming on and talking some Survivor with me. It's been way too long since we heard from you. And then let's get the ball rolling on this. Would love to see you back out there.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for staying in touch. And we'll talk hopefully soon.
Okay, Brian, is there anywhere online? Are you ever going to be on Twitter or anything like that?
You ever heard of the terminology condo paid for, no car payment?
Yes.
Is that on there or not?
On Twitter? I got to look for that.
Okay. Great. Welcome to the next level, Rob.
Condo paid for, no car payment, next level.
I'm stepping you up.
Okay. All right, okay. Brian. Thanks so much. And you keep in touch, okay?
Rob, thank you very much. Have a great summer.
All right.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, buddy. Bye. Yeah. All right, there you have it. Brian Heidick calling in from North Carolina. He's got a lot going on, helping people with problems. Condo paid for, no car payment. Hashtag next level. So it's all happening with the Iceman, Brian Heidick. We've got so much more coming up. I'm giddy. This was crazy. Anyway, so much more happening here on the podcast. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about that, our Brian Heidick conversation, to get the ball rolling on a Brian Heidick potential return to Survivor. And of course, in all seriousness, it's a nice thing that Brian is trying to do, raise money for Give Kids the World. So you could go ahead and go to that link, robiswebsite.com/charityHeidick. I'm sure that he and Give Kids the World would appreciate, $5, $10, and whatever you wanted to donate to a good cause. And all the reality stars go out there for Give Kids the World in Florida every year in the summer. That's a really great cause, and a lot of people go out there. It's a lot of fun every year. So thanks so much to the guys at Give Kids the World, Omar especially, for helping to get Brian Heidick here on the podcast. Greatly appreciate that. Looking forward to everything else coming up this week. Finale week on Survivor coming up. Our special coverage kicks off on Wednesday night. Tyson Apostle joins me on a special Survivor Know-It-Alls after do I still call it Survivor Know-It-Alls without Steven? I don't know. We got to figure that out. All right. He joins us as part of our special finale coverage this Wednesday night, starting at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.